This is Ratshank from Need More Rage, and you are listening to Twisted Nether.
Hello and welcome to episode 1. This is Twisted Nether Blogcast, where each week, hopefully, we bring you the best of World of Warcraft from the internether. I'm Bree, your host, and along with my co-host, Fim.
Good morning.
And welcome to the show. We are a new blogcast that is starting up this week. This is episode 1, like you may have heard. Our website is www.twistednether.net, and we are happy to be here.
You can contact us at Fimlys, that's F-I-M-L-Y-S, at TwistedNether.net, and also at Bree, B-R-E, at TwistedNether.net. Sooner or later, we'll also have RSS feeds up on iTunes and hopefully Zune, so you can find the podcast there.
Thank you. And now you may be wondering, who the hell are we? Okay,
so... I know I am.
So am I. I'm wondering who the hell am I and why am I doing this? Okay. My name is Brianna. I've been playing WoW for a few years now, been since May of 05, and been blogging for almost a year now, and have about 3 level 70s. I know that 70s are important for some people, so I got 3. Got a hunter, got a priest, I got a mage, and I'm working on a couple of alts. And what about you, Fim? What's your WoW experience?
Well, I've been playing since November of 04, which is pretty much from the beginning. I also have 3 level 70s, although one of them I've had for a long time, and the other two are more recent. I have a hunter and a priest also, and also a new druid that I got to 70 recently. I have a whole bunch of alts, but none of them are very high level alts. I've been blogging since March of 07, so about a year and a few months at this point.
Okay, and my blog is Gun Loving Dwarf Chick. You may or may not have heard of it. And it's been going around since September, so happy to see that it's still around. And the whole experience has taught me a whole new community that I had never really known before. I had never really experienced it before. And it's a community that I know that many people have gotten a lot of enrichment from it. There's a lot of knowledge out there. There's a lot of great posts and a lot of information that people may miss out on. And that's why we're doing this podcast, because we want to highlight those great informational posts, those great intellectual conversations that happen on the blogosphere that you may be missing out on. What about you, Fim?
Oh, yeah. My blog is Sleep at the WoW. Sleep of the World of Warcraft, obviously. And I've been blogging since March of 07. My blog is mainly about what I've been doing each day in World of Warcraft. I also try to have some informational posts, mainly about add-ons. I'm going to be trying to do a little bit more about that in the future, too. I agree with Bree. I've had the blog for a long time, and just recently there's been a lot more of a push to get that WoW blogging community closer together. And this podcast is really an extension of that, and where we want to try to bring a lot of those bloggers in and give them more of a voice in this space, as opposed to just within their blogs.
Yep, I agree also. And I think, you know, lately we've had a lot of podcasts out there, a lot of other different forms of media that have highlighted and showcased different parts of the game itself, but none really have tackled this aspect, because it's more of a written media. So it hasn't really crossed over into a audio format, what we're trying to do now. And I hope that you enjoy the show. And so that's basically what Twisted Nether is about. Twisted Nether is a blog and a podcast dedicated to the best that the WoW internet has to offer. And like we mentioned, our concentration is WoW blogs and the bloggers who write them, and blogging in general. So we'll have some general WoW news and views, and the topics will be coming from the blogs themselves. Also, we'll be adding on, probably into our next show, tips regarding how to set up a blog, what blogging is. If you've never heard of it, you don't know about it, you're missing out on a whole different aspect of WoW that really makes it enriching.
Yeah, we expect at this point to do new shows at least once a week, and in future episodes, we'd like to bring on some of those bloggers that are out there and have them either at the interviews or even as guest spots on the show. So let's get started, I guess. So we have this week on Twisted Nether, we've got a few different things we're going to try to get into. The first is going to be the general news, just general stuff we've gotten from different sites on the web, mainly places like MMO Champion and other news sites. The next up would be hot topics from the Nether. So those are basically topics that we've picked up from blogs this week and we'll be discussing. And then for this week, the last segment is going to be a featured blog of the week. And we'll go into which one that is and why we believe it's something you should visit and enjoy.
Yep, absolutely. So this week what we gathered is just some general information. I'm sure you guys are going to be hearing about it in different locations, but some interesting tidbits. Dungeon layouts will no longer be in a Black Rock Depths style. Do you remember Black Rock Depths?
Oh yeah, I remember it.
You know, there are some people, I mean, as strange as it may seem, that started playing the game with Burning Crusade, so they've never stepped into BRD.
Wow. I definitely have been there a few times.
Have you ever finished the whole thing?
Yeah, a couple times. It takes a long time, and mainly I did it for the to get my lower level, the second 70s I had up into Outland, actually. We really kind of farmed that for the levels there. There's a lot of quests in there, and so it's a maze, but, you know, getting through it all, you can gain quite a few levels.
Yeah. For those of you that don't know what Black Rock Depths is, Black Rock Depths is a dungeon that is in the Burning Steeps and also Searing Gorge that you can enter from both areas to the Black Rock Mountain. And it is a, what would you think, 52 to 59 range?
Give or take.
There.
It might be a little lower than 59, but you can still get some decent experience from 59 in there.
Yeah, the Onyxia quest to get a tune is through there. So, and that dungeon is famous for being incredibly confusing and very long. It takes a good 5 to 6 hours if you're in an appropriate group level to try and finish that dungeon from beginning to end. So what the developers are saying for Wrath of the Lich King is that they are not going to make any BRD dungeon styles again, which is interesting. That's nice.
I like it.
So they were saying that as much as there's nostalgia for those dungeons, that they're not going to build them that way anymore. So if you want to visit BRD to experience the nostalgia, it's going to be the only one.
Yeah, it's much easier to go when you're 70, so, you know, get a group of 570s together and head on in, and you'll burn through it like butter.
Arena Tournament Realms won't open before June 3rd. So all this is coming from MMO Champion. These are blue notes from earlier this week and on Saturday. It says they do not plan to open the tournament arenas for the second qualification round until June 3rd. And so if you are part of that, that's when it's opening up. Also, good news, if you wanted more than one Death Knight, you can. Remember how they were saying that you can only get one per account?
Yeah, I remember that. It was a while ago.
Right, but technically, it is one per account per realm.
Ah.
So you can have up to 49 Death Knights, if you so wish.
Well, that's quite a few more than I think I'll make, but it's a great idea, I suppose.
Well, if you wanted to have, you know, a bunch of Gnome Death Knights and Dwarf Death Knights, you know, Draenei Death Knights, now you can.
I'm sure somebody's going to do it. If they do it, we'll let you know, I promise.
So then, also, I know that this is a big thing that people have been talking about, the whole 10-man to the 25-man in the dungeons, and there's been a lot of talk about what's the difference between the two, so why should I care about the 25-man if they're going to be, is there going to be a 10-man version of the same dungeon? And they're talking about that the 25-man, like we thought, is obviously going to provide greater challenge and greater rewards. So that's one reason to look forward to them and to do them. Does that make sense to you?
Oh, definitely. We haven't done many 25s yet in my guild, but we're definitely looking forward to them.
Yep. I mean, they're a lot of fun. We've done in my guild, we've only done them a couple times. But even if you do it in Wrath of the Lich King, I'm sure that even if you do a 10-man version of one instance, and then you have the 25-man version of the same instance, you're going to still want to do the 25-man. I don't see how people are not going to want to try them.
Yeah, I mean, it seems to me that what we probably will see is having a guild who isn't ready yet to go to the 25s or doesn't have enough people will definitely do the 10s. The ones that do have enough for the 25s, I think you'll see those do both the 25s and the 10s because that will get them more whatever badges, whatever the type of thing that it is that you're getting from those. In addition, there's more loot and more money and a challenge to do it with 10, even if they dumb it down a little bit or however they're changing the 25 man's down to make it so that 10 people can do it, I think you're still going to get a decent challenge and it's going to be much more interesting.
Yeah, I agree. And coming from a guild that's smaller, you know, we can consistently get 10 man's fine without an issue. I mean, we can run Kara without an issue, but we don't have a lot of options after that. And having the option of later on, even if it's not giving us the best loot or the most challenge in Wrath of the Lich King, it's still great to know that we can go into something that's similar to Tempest Keep or similar to Black Temple or whatever, and it's still experience some of that content without being forced to raid with someone else or hug people for 25 mans if we don't have enough people to do that.
Yeah, exactly. Right now, yeah, we're stuck with 10s right now, too. We're working our way up to getting 25 raiders ready to go. And we've also been doing some of the 25s with other guild. So having this ability, it would be great to be able to run the 10s until you could get groups good enough to get into the 25s.
Yep, I totally agree. Next up is leveling improvements with Wrath of the Lich King. If everybody remembers when Dustwallow Marsh came out before they came up with the improvements with the leveling from 1 to 60, Dustwallow Marsh was included to help people level between that gap in 35 to 40. That was pretty brutal. So they're talking about that they're going to be adding, after the success of that they're going to be adding different new zones or adding different components to help people level to 80. So I think that's pretty cool.
Yep. Yeah, I heard that they were going to do pretty much the same thing they did finally in the old world in Azeroth, from the 1 to 60 to increase the speed of leveling. I think it was between 20 and 60 they made the change, that they're planning on doing that to the Burning Crusade content, so people can get through that a lot faster to get up to the newest content, the same idea. I don't know if they're going to do it as soon as Wrath of the Lich King comes out. They may, because they do now know that they have to do that, but it sounded like they were really planning on making that change sooner or later, and I think that'll be great for the people trying to come up, especially people who are new to WoW, who are starting at 1 and have to go all the way to 80 now, which is even farther. I think that the idea is to make that progression a little faster.
Do you think that the WoW's going to experience another surge of new players like they did with Burning Crusade?
I don't know if they're going to get a ton of new players. I think what they will find is they're going to get a lot of returning players. We've seen a lot of people who have actually started coming back now to get their characters up to 70, to get their characters better geared so that they're ready when the expansion comes back. And I'm sure we're going to get a lot of other people who have given up WoW for now, for whatever reason it was, coming back to see what that new content is, because it's really hard to get away. And once you do, it sucks you back in. So I have a feeling you'll see a lot of old faces and quite a few new ones. I think the press about it and whatever, you get kids getting older and getting to the point where they actually can start playing. You get people who just didn't know anything about it, who learning about it and deciding that it's for them.
Right. Yeah, but we've been noticing, at least I have in my guild, a huge influx of old players that have been gone for like over a year, suddenly coming back out of nowhere. And then also the reversal, having people who've been playing consistently for almost a year with the guild that I'm with now, and they're taking breaks, hiatuses, until Wrath of the Lich King comes out because they're burned out and everything. So it's almost like you're having two extremes happening right now.
Yeah, we haven't seen a lot of the burnout recently, but we have seen quite a few people who haven't seen in a while come back. Of course, they were still in the guild, so it's very surprising when someone we haven't seen in a while all of a sudden pops up and says, "Hey, how you doing?" So, but we've been including a lot of them on our Karazhan runs and such, and they're getting geared up and getting back into the swing of things, which is great because we can really use them.
Yep, it's been pretty awesome to see some of old faces show up again. And it's nice. And then, it's funny, we had a mage who hadn't been on for over a year, and he goes, "Is this true that I hear that you don't need to be attuned for Kara anymore?" I'm like, "Yeah, but you're not going to be that guy. We're going to get you attuned." Yeah.
Well, you know what I found out, actually? My attunement, my druid, we just went and got the attunement. And before we did, I actually did go into Kara with the guild because they wanted to get me in there. But I noticed you can't get the quests that you can do within Kara until you do that attunement. You have to get through that process. So if you get, it's all part of the same quest line. So if you don't do the attunement quest or the key quest now, since there's no attunement, you don't get the chance to do those quests to get the additional rep faster. You still do get rep for killing things, but you don't get the rep from the quests or the gold or any items that come from those. So that's kind of actually a very good tip because we didn't know that, and a whole bunch of people in the guild hadn't gotten their attunements and weren't getting those quests, and we didn't know why.
Oh, you know what? I never even thought about that. That's good to know. Didn't even realize that you couldn't get the quests in Kara unless you had done the attunement. And, it's funny because I think we've had people say, "Oh, I can't see anybody with a quest," and we're like, "Of course there's a guy with a quest. It's there, you know."
Yeah, so that's it. They didn't get the attunement, so... Yeah, I've gotten all three of my guys... My tunes attuned. I definitely was glad I did it since I couldn't get those quests. It's going to be a lot faster to get up to Exalted with them having those quests.
Absolutely, absolutely. My priest, who's only been 70 for 3 months, 2 months, got Exalted like last week or the week before or something like that. Before nice. My hunter. Yeah.
Well, I've only had my druid in there one time so far, but I'm sure I'll go in again tomorrow probably. Tonight is Monday we're recording, so and Tuesdays we do our Kara run, so we'll probably be in there Tuesday, which might be when you actually are listening to this, but who knows. Could have been yesterday.
Okay, so we're going to talk about our hot topic of the week from the Nether. And if you were around on Thursday or Friday on the blogs, you could have not missed this. It was pretty intense. It sort of lasted for the day. Everybody was involved, read about it, or commented about it. And I'm talking about the ban hammer. The big ban hammer that fell upon many a soul. Now, if you don't know what we're talking about, Blizzard banned roughly 30,000 to 57,000 accounts for botting. Botting is, remember, when you use a program or macros to do an action in-game that does not require the person to be at their computer. And what that happens is it's considered a violation of the EULAs, which is the service agreements that you agree to when you sign up to the game. And they decided to close those accounts. Now, Glider is a program that was doing this that Blizzard's been in a bunch of legal hoopla about. They've been trying to get their lists of customers to ban them. And also, we're not sure, there's rumors of whether or not that's how they got the names to ban these people or other methods, but they banned bunch of accounts at once, and one of the accounts that got banned actually is a guildmate of TJ. If you have
quite a few bloggers, actually.
Yeah, quite a few. But it started with TJ's site. If you don't know what her site is,
it's HTTP, obviously, temeritytjane.com. It's temerityjane.com. And she posted a post that basically was a call to arms, as it were, because her guildmate and friend, Lama, L-A-M-A-A, had been included in this ban. as far as she was concerned, and her guild and everybody who knows him, there was no way that he was involved in any of this type of botting. One of the things that was interesting about his setup and the way he plays the game is he was actually playing on Linux using Wine. He had a G15 keyboard, etc. So there was a belief that something tripped their detection, therefore he was banned.
Right. And so what happened was that through her site and through this call of arms, which it means that basically when you do a call of arms sort of in blogging, it's you let other people know about a situation that you feel needs to be heard. So you'll ask people to try and comment on that and to put their own spin on it and their two cents. So she called a call to arms, and a lot of people responded to it. Some responded saying they couldn't come to that, but that they wished them luck. And again, everybody is entitled to their opinion, and that's why we have the community that we have. But the basic focus of it at the end isn't so much whether he was cheating or not, is that the main issue was that there isn't a real method for people to communicate with Blizzard after a judgment's been placed on their accounts. If their accounts have been banned or locked for whatever reason, you can only go through the account administration department. And now that department, unlike the billing department that has a phone number that you can call Monday through Friday, you can only use an email form online to be able to communicate with the account administration. So you sort of have to wait a few weeks for them to siphon through all the emails that they've been getting, because predictably a lot of people are saying that they're innocent, that they were not botting, that the judgment against their accounts are incorrect. And so they've been getting a huge influx, more than they thought they were going to get, of people saying, I'm innocent and please reinstate my account. So what was going on through the websites and everything was everybody was commenting that hopefully bringing some light to the situation so that they can get some resolution for him and for others who are being affected by it. And a number of different solutions were offered. Did you read about any of those, Fim, for how Blizzard can handle this?
Well, I think that they were suggesting a 24-hour service for situations like these, so that there was a way to contact Blizzard. They could have a more immediate way for affected accounts to contest the judgment. So maybe a form online that was asking for the information that would actually be more relevant to the problem at hand, or something better worded in the emails that were sent out to say that your account was canceled because of this. Maybe some more information about what is going on. But definitely things like 24-hour phone line or something where you could get either even just more information and how to handle it and what to do if you believe you're innocent.
Yeah, absolutely. I know this isn't just for this ban, but when people have their accounts hacked, it's the same situation. You have to go through billings, and then you end up going through account administration at the end to try and get your account restored after a hack. And I know from my experience last year in my guild, we had a terrible experience, which I also sort of created a call to arms. Actually, it wasn't me. It was Testrel from Testrel Ares and Kurt from Priestly Endeavors, who read that post, and they decided to comment on that, asking for it. But we saw one of our guildmates who got hacked on Friday night in the middle, like around 11 o'clock at night. And we were watching his account get stripped in front of us, and we were trying to get a GM to do something. And the GMs have no power in-game to be able to do anything like that, especially when the account holder can't get into the account, obviously. And yeah, and then you had to wait until Monday. So by the time he got by the time he called Blizzard and he got through to somebody, his account had already been stripped of everything. And so this whole idea of having a 24-hour service or something that it's more immediate for, especially for a product that is running 24 hours, I think is something that's absolutely necessary.
Yep. I mean, I think they have some sort of 24-hour customer service. There's just limitations to what those particular customer service people can do. The customer service people in this respect being the GMs, they can do certain things. They can't do other things. I mean, I have a feeling they can do a lot. It's just a question of what they're allowed to be doing. The problem is, and I can see this from their standpoint, you know, if you call them and say, hey, this guy's account was hacked, well, what happens if somebody doesn't like you and they go and they say, you know what, this person's my friend, Bree's my friend, and her account has been hacked. I think you should log that person out. Well, it could be you, and you could really be on there. And so they can't just take that person at their word, unfortunately, and there's really not a lot they can do. It would cause a lot of chaos. So I understand from their standpoint, you know, why they can't just do something if you asked. It doesn't matter if it's the guild people or who, they can't just do it. But it would be nice if there was a way for the actual customer to be able to call up and say, hey, I was hacked, and how can we handle this, and have something more immediate than what is currently in place.
Exactly. Sort of a stop button or something that they can use outside of the game, because obviously if you need to be able to get into the game to be able to do something, then you're sort of scarred because you can't log in because your login's gone. And the same thing with the bans and when your account's hacked or locked out. I mean, there just needs to be a different method of being able to handle this, because it just keeps growing. The game just keeps growing, and the situations that they're coming across are just becoming more and more. Yeah, so what happened is, if any of you don't know who Big Red Kitty is. Big Red Kitty is a huge hunter's blog on the internet. And Big Red Kitty, coincidentally, is also Lima's guildmate, and also made some comments regarding the situation. And he received a response from T-Chan, a mainstay on the customer service forums. And if you want to see that for yourself, we'll put the link in the show notes. And according to her, these are all the reasons why people got banned. Okay, the usage of KeyPress software, which is included in the software for the G5 Logitech keyboard. So if you had that software installed but never used it, or you used it for your own macros, they may have flagged you as a possible botter. AFK botting. AFK botting is AFKing in battlegrounds and such, trying to farm honor. Downloading botting software out of curiosity for the code. A lot of people made comments that they downloaded Glider just to see what it was about, but they never used it. Also, if you were playing on a computer that had the botting software installed, if you logged into that on using, let's say, your cousin Al's computer and he had it, then you could have been flagged on your account because you were on a computer that had it. Botting or any hacked accounts could also flag you. So, in the end, there is, according to her, this is a quote from the site, which is a quote from her, in the end, there's absolutely nothing to be lost by contesting the ban. If the player has an idea of what may have gone wrong, hacking, using the computer of someone who bots, then it is all in firm standing to start from when contacting account administration. Now, this is something interesting that I saw when I read this, and it's something to just reiterate when you go and do this. If your account's been banned, okay, if your account's been banned or locked or whatever, and you're going to contest it, okay, make sure that your hands are clean, okay? A closer look at your account may bring things to light that are irrelevant but still actionable. That is, hey, I gave my cousin my password and name and login name and password to be able to get into my account on his computer, and his computer had the software. Your account's going to get banned permanently. You shouldn't be sharing your information out. So be careful how you phrase things if you're going to contest the ban. If someone is truly innocent, she says, the odds are definitely in their favor. Blizzard doesn't want to drive away honest players, but they do take a hard stance on activities that they deem illegal, and banwares represent that. Okay, guys? So that is the word.
Yep, and links to any of the sites that were mentioned within this will definitely be in the show notes. Temerity Jane's site, Big Red Kitty's site, and the posts that we were referencing are going to be there.
Yep, they'll all be there in the show notes, so you can go and look at your leisure. Okay, so I guess we're on to our feature blog of the week. Is that correct?
Yep, that's it. I think we're getting there.
We're getting there.
We're almost done. I can't believe it. It's almost over. I feel like I've been in a long instance, and we're finally getting to the end boss here.
Man, we wiped a couple times, but that's okay. We picked it.
Pick it back up. I think we had a battle res or two. We're okay. No problem.
We're okay.
We're doing great.
Okay, so our feature blog of the week is Elune's Guidance by Lynn. And you can find her blog at elunesguidance@blogspot.com. Obviously, the link will be in the show notes. And you want to tell us a little bit about it, Finn?
Generally, it's all about just the WoW experience. She has three level 70s, a druid, a mage, and a hunter. Very inviting style, makes you feel right at home. Come say hi. A lot of interesting information on there, just general chat, what she's been doing, what's been going on in her world. Here's from her bio and her site. This is what she says. A casual WoW player from the Feathermoon US server. With the experience of being a druid, mage, and hunter under her belt, she has much to say about everything and nothing. She also enjoys talking in the third person from time to time and making notes about her own life inside and out of the World of Warcraft. So, she has a lot of information on her site. Definitely is a great place to go. For that, one of her more recent posts was how not to upset your mage.
Yep, I was going to mention that.
Yeah, breaking crowd control, et cetera, something like that. Things with feral druid talent trees and discussions about that. So it goes from, funny stuff to fun things to very informative posts about druids and all the different things that she knows has information about.
Yep, and I was just going to mention quickly about that post that you were talking about, the mage post. I actually read that the other day, and it actually struck me because I remember when I was playing my mage, who's now retired in a hole at a home with other lost 70s that nobody plays anymore. I know. She made a real quick mention about portals. Okay, people, portal regions cost money. Okay, so if you ask a mage to make a portal for you, be kind enough to tip the mage, okay? Those things cost 20 silver each, all right? A gold is not a lot of money when you consider that you're stopping them from doing whatever they were doing to make a portal for you, okay? So be kind.
Yep, exactly.
That's all I'm going to say about that.
Exactly.
So go visit her site. She's fun.
Yeah, she has some great stuff on there. She's great. She is actually a great person. We've had many discussions with her on our little chat room. She's actually started an alt on my server. Bree has transferred a little alt too. A whole bunch of bloggers actually are coming over to my server. But she started a little alt there. She actually has two now, and she's been great. Great fun to have around. So definitely is a really cool blog, and you should go check it out.
Yep, check it out. Check it out. So then we've come to the end. Is it possible?
I can't believe it. Can't believe it.
Can't believe it. I didn't think it was possible.
I don't know. It's time for the epic loot, right? Is that what it is? Can I roll need?
It's time to loot the boss.
I'm going
to
roll need. I don't know about you.
Oh.
Well, this is some good epic loot. This is a good epic loot. This is some pretty amazing stuff that we got. Anna of TooManyAnnas.com, another blogger, did a parody lyrics for the song I'm Too Sexy. And Auric of SlashHug.net actually recorded this song. We're going to leave you with that. At the end of the show, so stay tuned for that. It's some great stuff. I mean, I think it was pretty awesome. I had to listen to it over and over again. So we hope you like it.
Yeah, let me just say that my main's a dwarf, and so is Auric, and all I know is that I needed to fan myself afterwards because that boy got a nice voice on him.
Oh yeah.
So yeah, enjoy it, especially girls. Enjoy it. It's nice.
So that's it. Come to the blog online and leave some comments about the show. Let us know what you like, what you didn't like, and maybe your comments will make it to the next one. If you have any questions too, please leave them. Maybe we'll add a segment of questions and answers, and that would be great.
Yep. Thanks so much, guys. We'll hope to see you next week.
Yep. Thanks for coming.
I'm too sexy for my aggro. Too sexy for my aggro. Aggro's going to kill me. Salvation, too sexy for salvation, so sexy it hurts. And I'm too sexy for the park, too sexy for the park, silver moon and gold shine. And I'm too sexy for your icebox, too sexy for your icebox, no way I'm aggro dancing. I'm a mage and you know what I mean. I throw around some fire in your instance. Yeah, in your instance. In your instance. Yeah, I throw around some fire in your instance.
Welcome to Dear God.
I won't make funny faces. Yet.
Hello and welcome to episode... Why am I stuttering on episode one?
Are we going to do podcast or blogcast?
Okay. You want to do it? You want to do the intro?
No, yeah. You can do it. You'll do it once and then I can do it once if you want to. It's fine.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, we... our emails... you can contact us at,
The opening song today was called Monster Techno Blues and is performed by Joe Siebel, provided by PodSafeAudio.com.